today. Happy to see you all. For those of you who weren't here last week, we have a series going on this month, which is called What Really Matters. And David kicked off last week, and that was a very good sermon. If you want here as well, you can actually check out online. It's a good message. So today I'll be carrying on in that same focus, but this is going to be What Really Matters, with a subtitle of The Heart of God's Law. Most Christians and churches today are getting bogged down in legalism of the law and fear. It's creating fear. People are trying to do what only God can do in the Spirit. And this fear is wrong and sinful. There's no works we can do that can get us to heaven. Doesn't matter what amount of money you give to the church, how early you are to church, they're good, but that cannot get you into heaven. So we're going to be focusing on what really matters. And our focal scripture for today is in Matthew 23. Okay, and I read. Before I go into this scripture, you know, Jesus was speaking to the Christians of those days and the Pharisees. But I'll go into more details once I've read this. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, faithfulness. You have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strained out a gnat but swallow a camel." The Pharisees were more or less custodians of the law. It was their responsibility to lead. But some of them took the law into their own hands. In case you're asking, what is the law? As we watched on what's in the Bible, the law are the first five books of the Bible. And the Jews call it the Torah. Now in this law, it includes the Ten Commandments. Now this laws were, there were so many of them. They had moral laws on murder, theft, honesty, whatever the case is. There were social laws, what you could do with properties when you sold it, what you did with the money, how marriages should be, divorce. There were so many laws. I mean, if you try reading Leviticus, you'd see some of those laws. There's so many of them. They had food laws. What was clean and unclean? They had purity laws. If you were ill, you couldn't go close to the church or you couldn't do this. They had feasts, Day of Atonement, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacle, and sacrifices and offerings. You had sin offering. It wasn't where you went and prayed. You had to use the blood of an animal to sort of perform the sacrifice to cleanse you of your sins. So it was expensive. So if you sinned, it was actually expensive. It cost you money. There were too many. Now, those were effective in those days because laws are generally made for unlawful people, which the Israelites were very unlawful at that time, very disobedient, stiff-necked. So these laws were made to guide them. Now, Now, the Pharisees believed that all Jews in ordinary life should observe these rules and rituals. But the problem was, the teachers of these laws were unliked, because they were very strict with the people. They were harsh in instilling this law on the people. But in the book of Matthew, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees as being very hypocritical and self-righteous. But if we had to look at this in our world today and this society, the Pharisees were more of the external, how they dressed, what they were called, how people revered them. But inwardly, they were deceitful people. And people knew. And it became very logical. I have to be seen to be holy. I have to be seen to be doing this. But indoors, they were as evil as you can imagine. In our society today, due to the external, seeing has become more believing. We looked on the exterior, but not the interior. We've become more logical than spiritual. You cannot worship God with logic. You cannot discern the spiritual with logic. It's like trying to tell an ant to use a computer. It's just too big. You can't imagine it. And it's a problem. It brings burden. If on the outside it doesn't feel right, or it brings that fear for Christians and for normal people. They don't feel qualified. In churches, you're seeing people leave the church because on the outside it looks good. The expectations that, oh, we're all holy, we have to this. But we're humans. Due to our nature, we're prone to sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned. It didn't say some, in the church and out of the church. We're being burdened by guilt. It's driving us out of church, a lot of people. Even those who are secular look at the church and say, well, they're not holy. You can't be holy without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Even at the church, for some Christians, the focus has become pleasing the pastor on the external. In some churches, they revere the pastors or the general overseers more than they actually do to the Holy Spirit. You'd prefer for the pastor to bless you rather than for you to pray and seek God's face. Those are unscriptural. When Christ was resurrected and the curtain was ripped, we had a direct access to God to cleanse us. So with or without your pastor, you have a direct access to the one who can restore your soul, who can restore the internal and the external. Now, the problem about focusing on the external that bogs us down, that creates fear, guilt, anger, I'm not living up to the word. I could do this on my own strength. It creates pride. When you feel like, okay, I've been to church early, or I've given my tithe, you become arrogant. In society today, it's external. In politics, our hope is in the strength of our army. Even in the old times, their hope was in the army. But before they went to war, they prayed to God and seek for his presence. But today, that's very different. Many Christians are trapped in fear. All sorts of fear. Anxiety. And the moment there is fear, it is difficult for the Holy Spirit to be inside of you. It is just, it's impossible. Anxiety, self-righteousness. I can do this. I've got it. I've got it covered. And when you don't, you feel guilty. You want to go to church, but something is telling you, how dare you? Remember what you did yesterday? What you spoke about? What your thoughts were? They're very dirty. You're deceiving yourself, and the enemy holds you back. People know deep down inside they're not matching up with the law. And we've become very legalistic. During the course of the Alpha course, as Steve spoke about, I'm in directly into technology. So during the course of us watching a video, we were told how some scientists with brilliant minds, you know, were trying to pick apart Christianity or the Bible. These were very brilliant minds in their own field. But they came to one conclusion, that the Bible and the Holy Spirit is real. So someone turned to me and said, wow, this is a scientist. Some of them have invented lots of things. I now said, with all this invention today in the world, why is there still sin? And I looked at the person and said, technology can solve the things of the outside, the exterior. But I haven't seen anything that can solve, any technology that can tackle pride. There's none. Not artificial intelligence. Not in 100 years. It cannot see the mind. It cannot see spirit. It can heal diseases on the external. It can bring comfort, but it cannot heal the most important thing. And that is why we still have the problems, despite tech. And it's bringing people back to the conclusion that the hope is on God. The worship today was amazing. It had some powerful words in there. Doesn't matter how dark your sin is, what problems you're facing in the internal, nothing can solve it. And that's why we're focusing on what really matters. In the scriptures, it talks about, in Matthew 15, it says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, sexual immorality, theft. Technology can deter these, but they cannot solve it. So they matter, but they're not the most important thing that matters in life. The true healing comes from the internal. What can liberate us from guilt or anger or anxiety? Not more money. It can solve some problems, a lot of problems, not all of it. The focus hasn't got to be the external. And once you get that right, that will liberate you, knowing that it doesn't matter what sin you commit, our God is faithful and just to forgive you and loves you on your best day as much as he does on your worst day. So when you feel that guilt, just know that you have a God that loves you. Shun the pride. Doesn't matter how burdened you are. It says, come to me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is an assurance that not even your spouse or your bank account, what you have or you don't have, can give you. Nothing. There's something that I wrote on the wall of my heart. And I wrote it last Sunday. After the worship, it says, I do not know the plans you may have for me, but I know one thing, that I am in your hands. once you have that in your mind, that should be your assurance. Everyone in this room, I can guarantee you, we have a problem we're going through. Some could be trivial, some could be major, it is still a problem. It may not be solved by the external. It also be solved by the external, but it would always come back. Where do we go to find the permanent cure for it? Doesn't it matter how much tithe you pay, how much you give to the poor, although it's important. If I read my Bible in the morning for a lengthy period of time or at night, I'd be saved. All the above are good. They're a hallmark of a good Christian. But the Bible clearly states, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by your works. So, church, if you're struggling to lead a perfect Christian life, which is understandable, if you're bogged down by legalism and fear and trying not to break every rule in the Bible or the Ten Commandments, remember the Bible says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And I can tell you here for a fact, he never died needlessly. He died for a purpose. He died for me and for you, even before we were born. He knew us. He knows of the sin you will commit even 3 or 4 years from now. And he's already prepared to forgive you. As a father myself, doesn't matter what my daughter does to me, I love her on the best days. She annoys me sometimes, but I just, you know, ever try sleeping on a weekend and by 6:30 someone just has a toy in your face or just, I want breakfast. Could be annoying, but you just love her for who she is. That is just me, a mere mortal. Imagine God and the love he has for you. Can I just urge you? Put your burdens at his feet. It is a safe place to be. If you're in church and you still have those burdens, just remember, it's not the building. It's not the physical. It's not the exterior. We all have access to him. We all have access to him. And he's waiting for us, like the prodigal son. He's just waiting. Come back. So, let's remember, no one can live a perfect Christian life. The word perfect is only in Christ. And just to take this a step further, whilst I was going through this topic, it took me to the book of Romans. And I want to read to you what I came across in Romans chapter 8. Starting from 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you truly are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, sets you free from the law of sin and death. And he goes further to say, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. Due to the flesh, it is normal to feel fear. So just relax. It is normal to feel fear, to feel anxiety. Mandela said something, and I quote, he says, "I learned that the courage was not the absence of fear, but a triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And we have Christ Jesus to let us conquer that fear." And I feel if you're here today, just open your heart to him. Don't try and fight it on your own accord. You cannot. The Bible also tells us those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I feel we should just spend some time after this. If you want to be prayed for, you've got anxiety, you're not sure how to go about it, you can come to the front here and someone will pray with you. Nothing on earth can separate us from the love of God and his power. Learn to love and trust him. Never let the devil hold you back in guilt or anxiety. There is nothing that is incurable by God. Absolutely nothing. What matters? Learn to love your God and your neighbor. And if you ever fall short in loving your neighbor or God, go back to God. Repeat. So I'd like to draw to a close so we can spend some time in worshiping, because I enjoyed the worship and I'm sure everyone else did, and a time of prayer as well. Be a time for you to come back to God and just lay those burdens at his feet. And I'm sure he'll save you. May God bless us as we come forward to lay our burdens at his feet. I just want to say a short prayer before the worship team come up. Our Lord, we thank you. We thank you for you are God that never fails. Lord, you never failed 3,000 years ago, and you will never fail today. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Lord, kill the pride in us. Kill the anxiety in us. Help us to just come to you. Lord, as we go forth from here, empower us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.